Welcome back to Lay of the Land. We're going to open the lines up for our callers. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 844-967-2789. Again, that number is 844-967-2789. So, Richard, you had some more comments that you wanted to make about a sense of place. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about the end of farms. Each year in Wisconsin, 300 to 500 dairy farms close, and I'm very much interested in that. Because ours is one of the farms for a couple of years ago that closed after four generations. We'd like to know more about these closures and why they closed, the story, really the stories to be told about each closure. I watched during the week a couple of films, one called Country with Sam Shepard and Jessica Lange, and then 1,000 Acres with Robarts and Jace and Jessica, which is the King Lear story, where the aging farmer ends the farm, who's going to inherit, and it follows the King Lear story, a tragedy. A number of films like this. There was film one in DeKalb a few years ago called At Any Price, about the son and the father relationship. So the point I just want to make is that each farm that closes has a story, could be a novel, could be a movie, and I'm interested in these stories, the importance of stories. Mentioning another film, I watched the Tom Hanks movie, News of the World, about the Civil War veteran. At the end of the war, goes from town to town and reads from the newspaper, sells tickets during the day, and then in the hall, reads from the newspapers, stories to the people, how the people are interested in stories. And I think in that case, and what we're talking here, it's also about the stories that give meaning to the reality, how we tell the stories, what the stories are. I wanted to make the case for storytelling.
Yeah, well, absolutely, that's true, because the sense of place has such an impact on us as humans that it's only natural that we're going to want to incorporate that into some kind of expression. Be it a novel, a movie, some form of expression, because it's such a powerful force in our lives as humans. So I think that's a good observation, Richard.
I wrote an article that's in the Wisconsin Academy magazine a couple of years ago called Elegy to a Family Farm. And that's what I was attempting, to give the history of the farm and the story of its closing, and in a way how it was a death in the neighborhood, the end of the family farm.
Mm-hmm. I have a very strong sense of what it takes to preserve the farm, and I think I've expressed that to our listeners, that I worked a good chunk of my life at trying to preserve our family farm. And our farm is one of, there were originally 14 farms around two sections of land, and we're the only one left that's still producing agricultural commodities of all of those farms. And that did not happen by accident.
Yes.
So one of the key things to be able to preserve a farm is for somebody to be an advocate, to preserve that. And I know you have worked hard to try and preserve your farm. I see we have a caller. So maybe we'll reach out to our caller. Joe, what do you got to say from Stevens Point?
Hey, you guys, just sitting in here listening to the show, and you guys made me think of, you know, the farm struggle, right? And how it's, but I remember, like, I graduated 1984. So I remember the Farm Aid concert of 1985. And the awareness was really nationalized at that moment. And John Cougar Mellencamp, he was John Cougar back then. He didn't even have the Mellencamp. That's how long ago it was. But I guess it's been like, this story is really an old story. And I would say it's the struggle is real. The losses are real. I don't think we're trending, in a very good direction. In fact, I know we're not. We got to do the math. And So I'm not sure what you guys think about that. And hopefully there's some techniques out there that we can come together on. I think the awareness is there, but we've gone radical. Our system has gone rogue. And it's, I think we got to bring it back to, like, the basic. You ever seen the banking example in North Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
There's an example. Mm-hmm. The farmers, it's the only bank in the United States that it is recognized by the state, and it was built for the farmers, who everybody went broke in the 30s, right? And so they had this act that went through, but it is the only state that has it's like a We the People bank, and they didn't get taken in the big downturn in the 2008 meltdown. One of the banks that held out the best and the strongest was the Farmers Bank of North Dakota, and they did give people loans in that, but it wasn't, they weren't just writing loans for McDonald's houses and, these McMansions and things like that, and I think it's something to look into, and I appreciate what you guys are chatting about. So just wanted to give you all a shout out. Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Joe. We appreciate your comments. The North Dakota State Bank is a very a unique situation, and obviously. Money is a big factor in the economic dimension, is a big factor in the closure of a lot of farms. The situation, Richard, is worse than the 300 to 500. Last year, I think it was over 700 farms closed. So we're just losing our farms in waves. It's a very sad story, because it is a human story. And like you said, Richard, there is a story for a family. And like you mentioned, you're a four-generation family. My family, also a four-generation. And fortunately, I have a grandson growing up on that farm now. So there's a fifth generation that has a hope to have that. What's your thought, Richard?
Are you saying that most of the closures, say the 400, 500 a year, are because of foreclosure?
No, they're not. They're not all foreclosures, but there is an economic dimension to a lot of these closures, often what it is, if you look at the age of the current farmers, I think, I don't know if I have this quite right, but it's probably 60 plus years of age.
So they're retiring.
Yep.
And then using the money for the retirement.
Yeah, because many farmers, the most valuable asset they have is their land.
Uh-huh.
And so
there may not be a son or daughter to take over the farm who wants to farm.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Or they can figure that 160 acres could support a family.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's the trend has been like when my parents started farming, 80 acres or 100 acres was a yes. very adequate farm, size farm. Our farm was 102 acres. And my dad never wanted to have more than 102 acres because he thought that would be way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He could have bought the farm from his father-in-law across the road, but he didn't because he thought it was too much land. You know, and look where we are now. People are farming thousands of acres of land. So that's been an example of major change.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, like you say, because of the value of commodities has gone down, so it takes thousands of acres to make enough money that...
And then one family member working off the farm in order to get health insurance, for example.
That's exactly right. Right. Yep.
So it's hard to have the family farm nowadays.
Yep. And we can, you know, there's a lot that could have been done with national policy to have preserved the value of farming as an entity in our culture. But we passed on that. We had an opportunity to have done that back in the 60s and 70s, even up into the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it did not become part of the national priority, and therefore we passed. So we're going to be going away for a couple minutes, and then we'll come back to the last segment of our show. And we're looking forward to having people call in, 844-967-2789. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a minute.